All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. How are we feeling this afternoon? I have not left my house since I got the kids to school this morning. Well, it's been miserable, man. It has not stopped raining here.
Did you
all
have
day.
A scheduled, you know what?
No, I didn't. I had nothing planned anyway, so it's not like even if it was beautiful outside, there's a chance I wasn't going to leave my house. Don't get me wrong, but it was not exactly inviting out
email.
There.
Devastating email, 7 a.m. Golf carts will not be permitted on the golf course, which is fine, but you couldn't have played anyway. It hasn't stopped raining since 6 a.m. And by the way, I don't think there's going to be golf carts tomorrow on the course either. What is it going to do, dry out all this? It's supposed to rain all night and all day tomorrow.
Yeah, like tonight, when you go on the weather app and it says 100%, they got to hit that one,
thing,
right?
That thing can be a farce. My buddy, DePasquale, told me that that app doesn't mean it's 100% raining, or it's like, he described it as you can't believe that because sometimes it says 60%. But it's only like 60% of the city. I don't know. He said it's
Did they
garbage.
Ever say 0%? Like, I don't
no,
even
they
think
just
they say 0%.
They just show the, when they show the sun as sun alone, you know it's go time.
No, right, I know that. Right? But even then, it'll say 10%. They're like, meh. No. You know, we'll hedge our bets here. 10% chance. Maybe it rains.
I feel like that's, you know what? That's a loser's race and a lazy way out. Like, you know what? I don't want to be wrong with this. There's a chance. So you just throw 10% in there. 10% chance. Mm-hmm. Like that means nothing.
It means nothing.
If you're planning your day and you're going, you know what, it says 10% chance it's going to rain. What does that even mean? Do you pack an umbrella?
I was talking to somebody.
No, of course not.
No.
I was talking to somebody in this industry that told me about an old school weatherman that would tape weekend hits and then put them in the bank. And leave for the weekend and not
for
come
sure.
in. He's like, I want to bank these. I'm going to just – I don't know how he pulled this off, but it was some veteran weather guy that would say, I'm taping these Friday morning or something, book it for the weekend, and just let them roll.
It's so like, he'd tape, like, multiple options? Like
well, I'm
sunny,
assuming what he would do.
Overcast, rain.
He would look at the phone. He'd see the sun and be like, Saturday, we're looking at a beautiful day Saturday here. Sunday, yeah. Slight chance there might be like the 10% on Sunday.
10% chance of rain.
He would tape the hits and then roll them onto the news, and away he went.
Well, listen, I support that move. It's so lazy. It also says something about the nature of the weather and how unpredictable it can be. And if you're a meteorologist, you're trained. You know, you're looking at the technology, but ultimately you can get sewered so easily. Like, the weather is Jake Plummer. Right? Like, that is the weather. And it could be Plummer, but it may turn into DeLome. Like, you never really know if you're a meteorologist. And if you don't understand that reference, you got to find the podcast from yesterday's show. But I think if you could find someone, like, there's got to be someone in some market, somewhere around the world, that has the best batting average for predicting the weather. And why is that person not more popular? Like, there's got to be someone who hammers out projections. Like, no one bats 1,000, but someone that gets it like 8 times out of 10, why are they not more popular? Why are they not more sought after?
Start some kind of weather app, hire him, and call it canweteeit.com and have the app, the area you're in, where the course is, and you get the guy that hits it lights out all the time to be on the app saying, you Hazy Coppenwood, you're teeing it today.
Right.
Jeff Weston, not teeing it. Canweteeit. .com.
Golfers would pay for that.
Yeah.
I think people that play tennis, runners,
there's been three or four
active.
Times this year it said 60%. You look out, there's drizzle. And the three guys that I was supposed to play with said, you should have showed up, man. The golden rule in golf is you got to show up to the course because you might hit a 2.5 hour pocket where you can get it all in.
That's right, yeah. You never know.
It's unlikely.
Unlikely, but that's the truth.
If you're a weatherman in, like, San Diego, you have the same, like, they have the most consistent temperature. Like, you just say it's going to be 78 degrees again.
Yeah, what's
today.
The point of that? Like, is that a redundant? Like, I don't want people to lose their jobs. Don't get me wrong. But what do you need a weather person for in San Diego?
You need, I don't know. I mean, like in the hot places, like if you're a weather person in Florida, it's scorching today, and there's a chance of rain for 1 hour. That's that's pretty much what's going to happen
on a tape.
In Fort Lauderdale.
The old school guy could tape 3 months out.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Like,
I got plans for 2 years from now. I'm just going to book. I'm going to bank that thing right now.
San Diego weather guy could literally do 2 weeks of work. Bring a couple different suit tie combos.
Yeah.
And see you later. Every day is the same.
Mm-hmm. They just plug it in. Here in Toronto, it's different. I watch, you know, CP24 in the morning and SportsCenter and all the things. But, like, I can't remember who does the weather there. Is it Makeda? I've always put your name.
I don't know, man.
I'm gonna
Mika
butcher somebody's
used to
name.
Do it. I
Mika,
know that.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to. Yeah.
You got Bill but doing it. You got a lot of different people.
They do
doing
a great job.
They
but
do a
then,
great job. Spectacular.
But
job.
In Toronto, it's different. Yeah, I don't want to.
What did you call Mika? Know. Makeda?
I don't know what the hell he just said, but it was not even close.
It's not good. Whatever it is, I apologize because I'm not trying to, you know, be a smartass about it, but I. It's Mika. What's
Mika
the
Madola.
Last? She, Madola, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Spectacular at what she does. Okay, Bill Coulter. Yeah. There's a lot of people in the city that do a great job.
I know. I just, but I butchered the name, but there's nothing I can do.
It's all good.
But here in Toronto, it's different. Like, you get the seasons, like, legitimately, the seasons. Like, there's times in your house it's 1,000 degrees out. You're like, what the hell's going on? And then you realize it's 31 degrees outside. And then later that night, it's 17 degrees. Like, It goes from so high to so low here in this area.
This is where you need it. Like this, our weather reports are absolutely mandatory. You got to have it. You have all four seasons. You have a variety of weather patterns. This is where, like, this should be the big leagues, you know?
Right.
Like, this should be, there could be someone doing weather reports in some small town in Saskatchewan right now who is a rock star. Should be trying to get to Toronto to knock out the weather because the weather patterns are so crazy here. This should be the big time for me.
Well,
anyway, I think so.
I got one other thing here. The most predictable thing, weather and day one of Leafs training camp. Like, they may as well just said the same thing that they did at the end of the season. Like, I don't know if you
listened really
to
was.
Anything.
We're going to have Kristen on in about an hour. I was thinking about it today because we're not – I guess none of the Leafs are coming or doing the rounds. They did their thing today. Hopefully we get someone on at some point between now and the beginning of the season, whether it's Kyle or Sheldon or John. Preferably, you know, let's say the coach. I was thinking about listening to Sheldon and even Kyle. It was the same kind of thing. Every question was about the meltdown, about the maturity, which I understand. Like that, of course, is the overarching topic of this team, without question.
Right.
But there was no time spent on who is Michael Bunting? Who is your third D pairing? Like, I don't think that's coming up enough. Is it just Sandin and Dermott and that's it? Like, Sandin's playing 82 games this year, or is he fighting for a position? Because that isn't coming up. That is, and I know we got a long time here to get to those questions.
You're right.
How do you fill the role of Zach Hyman? Like, very big question. This is a guy who's been a stalwart on this team for 5 years.
I don't think they were asked.
No, because it's not
the
their fault, but it was just always, hey, what about this? What about that? What about Mitch? What about the meltdown? How do you learn from the meltdown? What about? And it's like, we've been talking about that all summer, and I get it. We've been a part of that conversation as well, and I'm not saying it's not worthy questions, but then it was the next person asked the same thing, and then the next person, and it's like, at some point, when do we get to a point here with this team where we say, okay, what do they have now? You know, like, who's playing third-line center? Is Kerfoot a center? Is he a winger? Who is, you know, what is Wayne Simmonds going to bring this year? All these new players here, Nick Ritchie, like, there's been some turnover. You're back into the Atlantic Division. And Morgan Riley's contract came up. Kyle addressed it and basically said nothing is going to happen. You know, reading between the lines, nothing's going to happen right now because they're in a hard cap. They're dealing with the pandemic. And they're just going to ride it out. So it's Hyman 2.0. It's Anderson 2.0. That was my impression. That was the big story that came out for me.
I agree.
Today.
It wasn't positive that way. I got a weird vibe out of it where, you know, Morgan wants to stay. I think they want to make it happen. So I took two things out of that. You're right. Flat cap, so we're not going to talk about it. Or we're just going to see how this unfolds right now. Because the longer that Morgan Riley plays, and if he has a good season, he's looking around the league going, Okay, Darlene in Buffalo just got 6. Seth Jones got 9.25, I think. Dougie Hamilton got 9. So Darnell Nurse got 9. So you're, I know comparables are a lot different based on some of the ages of these guys and maybe their success rate, but Morgan's not $2 million less than Dougie Hamilton.
No,
you know what
I've
I mean?
I've noticed like, doing this job that you can start with John Tavares and his season in Long Island before, and when the player comes out and says there is a business element to it, I honestly think through the years been watching that through the like leading up to that season, when that's thrown out during the season, there's a business element to it. It basically means they're not close and is probably going to be moving on, you would think. I mean, that's what it seems like. When the old, it's business, that means if it wasn't business, it would be done and he would be a Maple Leaf long term.
Right.
Right?
Well, look at recent history. Forget Tavares. Look at Zach Hyman.
Yes.
And Freddie Anderson. Like, right. Freddie was dealing with a different situation because of, you know, the year before he didn't play as well, the playoff success, where he is in his career, his age, and all that kind of stuff. And right. And then this year, quite frankly, they made the right call not giving him a long-term deal last summer. Like that, obviously they dodged a bullet. That doesn't mean Freddie can't return to form, won't have a good year in Carolina. But could you imagine after the season he just had, what he just went through, if they were staring at another, you know, a four-year, $6.5 million deal kicking in? Like you right. talk about pressure. You talk about a scene where you're like, how is this going to play out? So they dodged that bullet. Hyman, on the other hand, is a different story because I don't believe for a second it would have taken 7 years at 5.5 to get him signed last year. I refuse to believe that. I think they could have got him done for less term and less money a year ago. They chose not to. They chose to play it out because right. of the same scenario, pandemic, uncertainty, flat cap, we don't know, and now he's gone. So right. that could happen with Morgan Rielly. And Zach Hyman desperately wanted to stay in Toronto, desperately wanted to be a Maple Leaf. Business was the ultimate call, the ultimate decision. Yeah. Business triumphed.
Well,
so
you
throw, I
you
expect
throw
the same thing with Rielly.
You throw the word desperately wanted to be in Toronto. And I don't know if people's understanding of what – it's not like Toronto was saying, here's a couple $1,000s to stay here. Like, it's not like their offer was complete apples and oranges to what Edmonton's was, where it was like, oh, my God, I just – the money is so much greater in Edmonton that I – like
– I don't think it was that close. Well, I don't think the Leafs were giving him anywhere close to 7 years at 5.5.
I think the money may have been closer, but maybe yes. not the term. That's
we're
the
not
thing
we're not talking
of,
earth and, like earth life changing right. money differential from the two contracts, Hayes. So when you say desperately wanted to stay here, and for Zach Hyman, you got to get the most money. That's what he opted to do. That's what he was going to do. So if it was $2 million, if it was a no trade clause, that was the difference in the deal. Then fine, go ahead and take it. But when you use the term desperately wanted to stay here, and I'm not saying he should have taken a hometown discount. I just like what his setup would be being in Toronto the rest of his career and after his career. Your buddy that you golf with all the time, you see the kind of deal he's got going. He's loved.
I totally agree with you. I was speaking with another high-profile Leaf, former Leaf, who said the same thing. He's like, the amount of money he'd be making here, the amount of – who he is, what he represents, what he's all about. And that doesn't mean he can't become a folk hero in Edmonton, right? He works hard. They win there. If he's a part of a cup-winning team in Edmonton, he's going to be able to run with that. And, you know, desperate is arbitrary. How do I define that? I can't. You know, I wasn't in the room with Zach Hyman. I haven't spoken to him directly. But my impression was, and what I have heard through the grapevine, is he wanted to be here. He loved being a Leaf. He wanted to stay. And something got in the way of that, whether it was a no trade, whether it was the years, the amount of money, who knows.
Well, I've got to be careful with my words because I'm not going to put words into anything. But he might have taken offense to something along the way as like, hold on a second here, this is what you value me as or whatever. Or he might have just said, you know what, this is my one opportunity to see what the grass looks like on the other side of the fence. And if you know, I heard him speak today. If he had to go to one scenario that might feel somewhat comfortable or the same, It might be it's a lateral move. He's going from Matthews to McDavid. Mm-hmm. He's going from, Toronto to Edmonton. Aesthetically, different cities, all of that.
But
I get
big
that.
Canadian hockey
but
market
big
with
Canadian
expectations.
Market with
and
expectations.
You know, guys can take it personally where right. It goes from Matthews' deal. It's like you got to give him the cake. And then there's the Nylander situation. And then all of a sudden, hang on a sec, it comes my turn. And guys, they get pissy, man, when it's your turn and all of a sudden it's like, well, we got to see what we can do here to make things fit in. And for Hyman, selfishly, he's like, hang on a sec here. That wasn't the case for the other deals. Why the hell is that the case now for me?
Well, and that's yeah. I think both of these can be true. I think you can want to stay, which I do believe he did. And I will always believe that. But also want what you believe you deserve. You know,
sure.
Or you want vindication for what you have built up and what you have really developed here in terms of Hyman in particular quieting a lot of people that have been doubting him his whole career, you know, his whole life, growing up as a kid, going to Michigan, everything. Third right. round pick, grinding, doesn't have this, doesn't have that. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, and I have been led to believe that this may have played a factor in it, was go get the most you can get to prove everyone else, look what I got and look who I am. And credit to him for doing that. So you can want to stay, but also want to be quote-unquote respected, which
sure.
the definition of respected is in the eye of the beholder, right? Like some
right.
people would say, listen, man, you're the Leafs want to keep you. Yeah, it's not ideal. This is the way the cap works, and they're up against it. It doesn't mean they don't love Zach Hyman. Believe me, the Leafs would prefer to have Zach Hyman.
Yes,
they're a lesser would. Team sure. without him. Of course they want him, but X's and O's get in the way of it. And, we addressed that last year. I don't blame him, and I won't blame Morgan Riley for approaching it the same way. Matthews got what he wanted. Marner got what he wanted. Willie got what he wanted. Tavares got what he wanted.
Sure.
John walked into 7 years at $11 million in the C. That's a pretty
yeah.
good deal,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
Riley's sitting here saying, I've been here a long time. I don't blame him.
We kind of thought that when Tavares put on the underpants with the Leafs logo, it would be like maybe there's a hometown discount. There wasn't one single
There was not
cent.
A discount.
Not
nope.
1 cent. So
nope.
that's the way it works. When you're up, you're expected to. And Morgan Riley, as Noodles just mentioned, all the defensemen are signing for what they're worth. And if Nurse is 925 and Cale Makar and all these other guys, maybe Morgan Riley's not Cale Makar. I don't know if he's Seth Jones or Darnell Nurse, but he's going to be saying, if they're better than me, is it $1 million?
Well, but here's the other thing I'll say. And Morgan Riley is going to have a good opportunity. I mean, the door will be wide open to make Team Canada. You know, he's, like I say, let's say he's in a contract year, has a fantastic season for the Leafs, and goes and plays for Team Canada and gets gold. Looks pretty good on the resume, doesn't it? And it'll look good on the checkbook, too.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, he might be just saying, the Leafs might be saying, hey, we want to lock you up. And he might say, I'm betting on myself here. This is my first opportunity here to, you know, there's a lot of different things going on. And that's why I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth because we're not privy to these private conversations. But this is a big year for Morgan Riley on a lot of different fronts. You know, we talked about it yesterday. This is a guy who's seen the wars behind the scenes here. He's the longest standing Toronto Maple Leaf. You know, he was here.
He's been here.
You know,
he was here for Salute Gate. You know, that's my reference
and all
point.
All of that stuff, right?
He was here for it. Well, and the playoff failure is what makes it so much more difficult to chew on because that doesn't come up in the negotiation. Look at Hyman. Edmonton
right.
didn't care. Like, Hyman did not have a great 7-game series. He really was ineffective. He was injured. He was coming back from that knee injury. I don't think he was at 100%. But he had
right.
no point. Took over a game. Not that that's in the nature of his game, but he was not overly effective. He did not look at 100%. It was irrelevant because of the body of work. You just
right.
referenced a scenario here where Riley could have a phenomenal year, make it onto Team Canada, play a role in a gold medal. They get bounced in the first round, and he's still going to say, I want my $9 million.
Right.
And like without the playoff success, like we referenced Tampa yesterday. Handshakes, hugs, and kisses, Barkley Goodrow. Go get yours. Go yeah. get yours. Right? Blake Coleman, shout out to Calgary. We love you, man. Shout out Yanni Gourde. We're not going to protect you. We love you, man. You're welcome back whenever you want. 2 cups. Does it suck? Yes. Are you a lesser team? Yes. But you got 2 rings, so see you later. The
right.
Leafs losing guys because of the cap and because of the scenario, because of how they played during the regular season, it stings that much more because there's no playoff success.
That's right.
It stings so much more.
It's a two-cup situation where guys are going overboard and there's not a first-round win. Well, and it goes back to all the guys, Connor Brown, Zaitsev, all of them. Well, they're overboard, and there's no winning. So that's where it gets frustrating.
Well, that's where I was thinking about this last night, guys, and I don't know if there's an exercise for us on one of these shows coming up before the season. You know, if you could go back and if you had cap space, you know, Kapanen, Janssen, Kadri, Brown, Zaitsev, like, who in a perfect world would you want back? Or those are guys that you had to throw overboard to make room for money with the flat cap and all of that, or you were looking for a change. Let's be honest too. I think they were looking for a change from Kadri's situation based on some of the things that had gone down. But ultimately, you know, you do the callback and go, "What do you think of this player?" Like one thing that jumps out at me right now when I look at this training camp roster that I've printed out in front of me is, yeah, I'm not worried about Austin Matthews or William Nylander or that, but where, you know, after that top six, and we don't even know who's playing on the left side in the top six, it thins out. And, you know, it looked a lot nicer having the stability of Kapanen and Janssen or whoever these guys that have been through. Connor Brown looked real nice,
you know, good.
On that third line.
Yeah, you plug him
right
on the third
wing.
Line right wing, you're like, that is a really good-looking right side.
I mean, that's hindsight, and we're not here to fire darts
at it. And that's the nature of the beast,
man.
Like, things turn over, players move on. Like, that's just the way it goes.
Right,
but you're right. It's more of a difficult pill to swallow because of the lack of playoff success in the end, which is not relevant evidently when it comes to the negotiations, you know, in the contract. And I think that's what we're going to be dealing with Morgan Rielly all year. It did not sound as if they're close. It doesn't sound like Morgan Rielly's, you know, he's involved, but he's leaving it to his agent and he's going to concentrate on hockey, which is code for, I don't know, you know, we'll see what happens here. We'll see where the season plays out. And I didn't get the impression like Dubas was thinking of changing his approach either, because they're uncertain of where the cap is and where it's going and where we're leading with this pandemic. So the Leafs are in camp. They're officially here. They had their physicals today. They'll be on the ice tomorrow. And, you know, Matthews, as we know, is not going to be a full participant, but Dubas did say they expect that he'll be ready for opening night, which is absolutely necessary because of that depth. You know, you run into a couple of big injuries. Who is going to be there to lead the depth of this team? That is concerning. Like, that is concerning. You get a 10-game stretch where Matthews and Nylander are out for whatever reason.
Right away.
Man, I don't know who's going in.
I got cornered today being pestered of why Matthews didn't have the surgery as soon as the season was over, and I didn't have an answer for the guy. It was just like I'm trying to get a something or other in the grocery store, and it's like, why wasn't that done? I'm like, look, God, I don't know. I don't know what was up with his wrist, how it got hurt, how it got re-injured, and I didn't have an answer for the guy. But
no.
He was like, who does that? Like, why wasn't that done early?
It's
a good question.
It is, but the one thing I'll say about this is we all know, like, that medical team for the Leafs is top-notch. They're not dinking around with Austin Matthews and going, you know what, go party in Arizona and hang out with the Biebs, and we'll see in a month, see how it, you know, unfolds. Like, they're on top of it. They probably wanted to heal naturally. It probably didn't heal the right way that they wanted, and then surgery's elected. Like, you know, I have a tough time, like, questioning medical professionals who do it for a living. Like, I get it, but it's
well, like, we don't know, though, what the conversation was. You know, we're seeing this with Eichel in Buffalo where it's, you know, the reverse. He wanted surgery. They didn't. Who knows?
Right.
You know, there's obviously a chance, and we don't know this, but maybe Matthews was the one who thought, I can rehab this. It's all good. I don't want to have surgery. Who knows? Ultimately, it doesn't have to matter if come opening night you're playing he's and ready. You're all good and you get through the season, right? Like, he's a big boy. He's been through camps before. You'll give him the benefit of the doubt, or I certainly will. But yeah, it's interesting, guys showing up. The you know, the vaccination status of players is a big topic league wide, including a big one in Edmonton. And we're gonna head out there next and catch up with our boy Jason Strudwick. Duncan Keith, he'll be ready to go come opening night, but not the opening of camps because it took him a while to get vaccinated, basically, and he's still dealing with the process of it and he's still quarantining. So he will not be in camp as of day one. He's not there right now, but he will be ready to go come opening night. Tyler Bertuzzi's just not going to do it.
What is that? How does that work for contract? He's not playing games in Canada. How does the organization sit there and say, we're going to pay you in full, but come Canada?
Well, I don't think he's going to be paid for – I'll bet you that portion of his contract will come out, whatever the percentage is.
There's going to be some – I mean, the PA is going to be involved in stuff like that because my understanding and just looking back, Bertuzzi's not going to be available for 9 games for Detroit in Canada. That's on their schedule. And then, you know, out in Edmonton, we'll get into that. Not only Keith, there's another player there that might not be available for about 30 games that they were talking about.
Well, because you go to the States as much as you do.
You go to the States and quarantine rules and stuff. So, yeah, they've got a spicy meatball on their hands.
They sure do. Like, what if you make the playoffs? It's unlikely. But what if Detroit plays Toronto
in the
first
round? In the hunt and a guy doesn't want to go to Canada and your last 3 games are Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver.
No kidding.
And you know the sad part about, like, again, this is personal decision. That Bertuzzi's a really nice player. I really like him. But, you know, I don't want people thinking about him a certain way just based on his decision. It is what it is. But, unfortunately, like, you know, they have to own that. You know,
it's on him. It's a personal decision. But these are the repercussions that come with it, you know, based on what the league has done and the protocols that they put in place. So we'll catch up with Jason Strutter, get his take on, you know, day one of camps and what comes with that from Strutty's perspective. Kristen Chilton, who was down at the rink today in the media room, she's coming up just after 5 o'clock. Role play level of concern in about an hour. Little role play level of concern at 5:30. We look forward to that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, role play level of concern in an hour. Our boy Jason Strutter here in just a moment. Level of concern for Conor McGregor ever living down that first pitch last night at Wrigley Field.
Dude,
do you think he did that on purpose?
50 Cent was the worst. That's the worst ever, man.
It did look like he may have done that on purpose, though, Noodles. I'm with you because it didn't look like an awful
delivery. He tried to throw it as hard as he could.
Yeah, like that's terrible. It's terrible, but
dude, it wasn't on purpose. Look at his suit jacket; it's spandex.
Well, and his pants are too. Like he jammed into there. I mean, I like his swagger, but that was embarrassing.
That
was
terrible.
That's kind of how I feel. I envision myself throwing the ball. I think Strutty would throw the ball like that too.
Strutty's pants are as tight.
Yes.
Yes, they are. They generally are. Here he is from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime Oiler, NHLer, friend of the show, Jason Strudwick. Did you see Conor McGregor's ceremonial first pitch last night?
I did. And the first thing I thought of was Charles Barkley and Jamie McConnell's golf swings. Awful. Absolutely awful. The three, it was so unathletic. I don't understand how someone can throw balls that badly.
That was terrible last night.
And that is the thing, Hayes. Like, throwing a baseball, doesn't everybody do that at one time or another as a kid? Like, just toss the ball? That was outrageous.
I guess if you don't have the mechanics, you don't have it.
I'm
right?
telling you right no now.
No kidding.
I have zero We talked about this last week. That would be me. I don't know if I know how to throw a ball properly.
What do you mean you don't know? What do you – like, Strutty. You know this guy as well as anybody. What kind of comment is that? He doesn't know if he can throw a ball properly.
You know what? I actually would agree because this guy, he goes camping. He doesn't like bugs. We go to the beach. He doesn't like water. Like, you go to a baseball game. He doesn't like a baseball. Like, he's I don't know what he likes. I don't know what he does. He watches movies, eat popcorn. I don't know, Texas. Like, what do you do? I've known him for my whole life. I don't know what he does.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know what I'm good at. I'm always in the background. But you're right. Like, I go to certain places. I don't love them, but I tolerate them. If I go to the golf course with the guys, I'll sit in the cart and enjoy myself. I don't know why.
You're very tolerant, but you don't really do anything, is what you're telling
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. That'll work.
Kill time.
with Jason Strudwick. So we found out today that Duncan Keith, not fully vaccinated, but now is in the process of doing that, will be quarantining, will not be in camp as of, you know, the early parts of camp, but will be prepared to play come the opening of the season. That must have been terrifying for Ken Holland all summer. What do you think was going through his mind after acquiring Keith? And I'm sure Duncan told him, not happening, pal. Like, not looking, I'm not doing this. And now all of a sudden something has changed. But, and I guess the reality that you can't play in the States, you're going to miss upwards of 30 games. But what a story that would have been today, Strutty, if he just said, it's not going to happen, and Duncan Keith is all of a sudden not a part of the team for 30 games of the season.
You're sweating it out. I mean, and that's another layer you have to now deal with players. You know, do you want to play here? You know, what does your family think? Would you want to sign? Like, all that kind of stuff. And the trade happens. And then, you know, there's this goes on. So, you know, Duncan Keith has now gone to get it. He'll be out for about a week or so. And, you know, he's a veteran guy. And, you know he's going to be in shape and prepared, all that. But the Oilers have a lot of new players in key positions. And I'm sure from Dave Tippett this morning or whenever I found this out, I would prefer if everyone was there to start training camp so we can get the momentum going together. Now, if Duncan Keith doesn't make the first week, it's not the biggest deal, but that time's an opportunity to get some chemistry with maybe a new partner or on the penalty kill or, you know, all these new areas that the Oilers, they need to come out firing, feeling good about themselves. And to me, that second line defense, that second pairing, you know, is it Keith and CeCe, or is it Keith and Bouchard, or like what does that all look like as you go along? So that to me is the biggest question mark on this team is that second pairing. Last year was anchored by Adam Larson, and whoever played with him seemed to do okay, and he was, you know, the anchor. Who is the anchor on that second pairing now? We know it's Nurse on the top pairing. Who's going to be the second pairing? So again, it's not like this isn't a rookie. But I would just rather, even as a teammate, I'd rather everyone was just there. We're all together, excited about this new start of a team that's way deeper in so many different ways.
Strutty, how's Oiler Nation as a whole, Leafs Nation, as great as a power as it is, as you know? They're a little bit still miserable from last year, what happened against Montreal. Is there kind of still some bitterness out in Edmonton about them getting dummied by Winnipeg? Or are they somewhat realistic? Or opportunistic, optimistic, sorry, that's the word. Like, just saying, we got a great player, like, let's go into the season, or are they still pissed about last year?
Well, I think the difference between the Leafs and the Oilers, for fans at least, is that, you know, the Oilers went out and made some significant additions to their team. You know, you look at Fogle, Hyman, you know, Duncan Keith, you know, some old CC guys like that, they look Bouchard to take a big step. Whereas for the Leafs, you know, the guys they brought in, I'm not sure they have the same upside. Hyman, I left Hyman out, I think, too. You know, do they have the same upside, like just Kasha or Bunting or Nick Ritchie? I'm sure at some point Galchenyuk will end up there again. But, you know, like, do they have the same upside as these guys? You know, and I don't think they do. So I think for the Oilers fans, they see, you know, specifically what I see a team that on the wings is fast and they can forecheck. Something they had enough. They haven't had enough of. You know, with all due respect to some of the guys who were there last year, smaller, skilled guys that, you know, couldn't make a difference on a line. Now, you know, if you go down the right side, it's going to be guys like Puljujarvi, Cassian, Yamamoto. Down the other side, you got Fogle, you got Hyman, you got Nuge, or Nuge could slide in the middle. At some point, you'll have Dylan Holloway coming in. So there's some youth there with some speed on the wings, and I think that's so important. And against Winnipeg in that play-in, I mean, it was so hard for the Oilers to get any offense if it wasn't from their big guys. So, you know, I think that's the difference I see. I'm not saying this to beat up the Leafs because that's not what I'm trying to do here, but that is what I see, I think, is the difference. The Leafs are going to need some surprises, but I think the Oilers, the guys they brought in, you pretty much can guess, if healthy, what they will deliver.
Strutt, you just talked about the moves that, you know, Ken Holland made in that. The one thing he didn't do is it's status quo in net. Now, Mike Smith had a fantastic year last year, but he's 39. And Koskinen, you know, had a really poor start and then kind of stabilized. But, you know, you go back with the same tandem. Is it a source of concern? You know, is there a level of concern there just based on, you know, maybe they didn't upgrade in that position, but they upgraded kind of everywhere else?
Well, we saw the price of unloading contracts was pretty expensive. And, you know, it's always a parting gift. You know, sometimes, you know, like that Chiarelli left the Oilers with the contract for Koskinen. To me, it's not the player, it's the contract at $4.5 million. And, you know, to get rid of that contract was going to be really, really expensive. So they go with the same two guys. And, you know, they had a good year last year. Mike Smith played really well. Mikko, I think, you know, he is a guy that I don't think he can play a ton of games. I think he's got to give some time for, I don't know if it's rest or just to stay sharp with the goalie coach, Justin Schwartz. But you know, if they can somehow kind of platoon these two guys and each out, you know, end up, I'm not a math wizard like O-Dog, but somewhere around 40 games each, you know, they have a chance to, I think, to have a decent year. But let's keep in mind that the work's been done up front. I truly feel that this team will be able to score not just off the rush, but have some ozone play. You know, when you watched Oilers highlights last year, he was always scoring off the rush, you know, or on the power play. This year, I hope we see some highlights that involve, like, winning battles below the top of the circles, right? Just crashing and pounding in the corners and dragging that puck out of the corner, some hard, ugly hockey. And they have guys that now, in theory, have done it and should be able to do it. I mean, I'm looking at Jesse Puljujärvi. You know, I think he had, I want to say, 14 goals last year. I think he gets 25 this year. I really do. I think that he's starting to understand how he has to play, and that big body getting to the net. He can be irritating. He draws penalties. So I think they have to learn how to score in different ways. Like, scoring off the rush on the power play is great, but manufacturing something out of nothing is huge. So even looking further down the lineup, you know, Derek Ryan, does he help stabilize that third line? I don't think we're looking for a lot of offense if you're an Oilers fan, but, you know, if it's Ryan, Cassian, and let's say Warren Fogle, can that line put pressure on the other team and at times chip in with goals? Then you get to the fourth line, and, you know, there's maybe a little bit of work to do there with, you know, McLeod growing. But I really think the Oilers will be better outside of their own zone, which will take pressures off their end zone and hopefully make the goalies' nights a little easier.
With Jason Strudwick from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer. So we've got an Olympic year that we're on the verge of here, and there are locks, you know, all throughout the country, all throughout the league. You know, there are certain guys that are locks. In Toronto, there's going to be a bunch of them. In Edmonton, we know McDavid's a lock. We know Drysdale's going for Germany. Beyond that, though, I'm not sure if there is one. Like, I think Darnell Nurse is a guy that clearly is in the discussion. I could absolutely see him making that team. Nugent Hopkins never comes up. I can't imagine he would make the team. There's just too much talent. But where do you stand on that, Strutty? Like, it's how many outside of McDavid and Drysdale, do you see any other Oilers making Team Canada or any other Olympic teams?
Yeah, I think Puljujärvi's a guy, you know, depending on how he does to start the year. I think he's got to be on the radar. And Darnell Nurse, I mean, so big, so mobile, you know, and has quite a bit of offensive ability. I you know, he really surprised me the way he was able to run run the power play last year, you know, when he was asked to do that, splitting with Barry or whomever. So I thought he did a really good job, but I don't think that'd be maybe his number one job with Team Canada. I think he'd be a defender. Like I said, long, can skate, really agile. So, again, I think I would expect a really strong start to the season out of him because he's trying to make his case for that team. You know, after that, you know, does Yamamoto have a chance on the U.S. team? You know, you never know, I guess. But they're pretty deep up front, too. So I think you nailed down the locks. And after that, I'm not sure if there's anyone who's a slam dunk lock. I'd say the next closest guy is Puljujärvi and Nurse.
Strutty, fall season. Is it kind of a transition for you as far as wardrobe? Do you go with anything tight? I know you like to go to the grocery store with tight clothing on, especially to highlight your ass, as you say. What do you kind of transition to for gear in the fall?
Well, my sons are playing hockey again, so I'm back on the ice, and I've actually got a tighter tracksuit. This wasn't my own thing, and the other coaches give it to me all the time about how tight it is, and it is. Like, it is, it's, I got to butter up the old thighs to get in there. And once I get it on, though, man, it looks good. Like, it's like Jerry Seinfeld when Kramer's trying to help him get his jeans off. That's how tight it is after practice. But, you know, my wife isn't complaining. She comes early and leaves late.
First one there, last one to leave. That means you're doing something, Strutty. It's like quarterbacks in the NFL.
She loves it.
All right, buddy, we'll get in the corners, grind it out, do your thing, man. And we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you, Strutty.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you later. Work on your swing, Noodles. Work on your swing.
Buddy. Yeah, well, it's the throw that's the bigger.
My follow-through. Yeah, I'm throwing rotation. In like chicken strips right now.
Hey, guys, has Noodles told you about how he took his family to the beach, dropped them off, and went home? I think you should get him to tell you that story because I heard that story. Hey, guys, let's go to the beach. I'll drop you off. And he goes home. I'll leave you with that one. Noodles, you tell the story.
All right, we'll jump on it now. Right. Thank you, Strutty. There's Jason Strudwick. That can't be true, Noodles. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, in Whistler, there was a beach that the kids and Steph and them would go to, and I was busy.
Steph and them,
those people.
But they were going so early. What the hell am I going to do there at 9:30 in the morning?
Like, well, what's anyone going to do at the beach? Listen, exactly. I am not a fan of the beach. I hate the beach.
Dude, but when the kids and the wife want to go, you got to put the time in.
Yeah, you have to go. We do it every year. We go down to Florida, and we're in Fort Myers, and there's Fort Myers Beach, which is 40 minutes away.
One day.
But it's one day, and I go, and I shut up, and I sit there, and I pretend like I'm having a good time, and I'm miserable. Yeah. Now, I didn't know I could pull that off, the old drop off, and I'll see you later. So,
dude,
what are
you
wrap
can't.
Back
it's
around and pick them up 3 hours later, or what?
No, the rental house was about 4 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
You drop them up, you go back to the house. I actually had some conference calls. I'm not lying. I had
that's
some
not
business
true.
To take
There's
care
no
of.
Way
I
that's
swear
true.
On
no
my life.
Way. There's no way that's true.
I swear. I had a few conference calls. I was busy. And then I came back. Like, I didn't just drop them off for the day and then, like, Strutty's intimating. Like, I didn't drop them off for the day and say, I'll see you later. I dropped them off and came back a couple hours later.
There's only one day out of the beach trip, and it's just the Coors Light, 12 Coors Light in a bag with ice on them, and it just... That's what gets you through the day. And then when it's over, you just say, I'm out of here.
Listen, some people love the beach. Love the beach.
Yeah.
It is
I
not
hate
my
it.
Thing. I hate the sand.
I hate it. I hate the wet feet going into the sand. And then you get back to your chair and you're like, I got to wet my feet to get the sand up. You can never get it
I've told you this many times. I don't like natural bodies of water. I have no interest. I'm a pool guy for life.
Dude, my wife made me start watching these docs during the summer on shark attacks. And this is not like a once in 10 year. There are sharks everywhere, man. I'll never go in that water.
That's me. That's the ocean is crazy, man.
Scary. There's lots of things going on. But I mean,
lots of things.
Just sitting outside. I don't know what's going on with these bees and hornets now. Like, it's not even mosquitoes anymore.
It's ugly, it's though. Recently, it's been really
stung,
bad.
I got stung the other day because one went up my sleeve. And I, like, couldn't get it out. It stung me a couple times.
Dude, you
like,
get a killer hornet sniffing around. It's not a good thing.
No,
it's ridiculous.
You're
I don't
trouble.
Like that's the. It's not even mosquitoes now. It's bees and hornets.
Yeah,
I don't know
I think they're at the end of the season, kind of getting close, and they're getting desperate, man.
Crazy.
That is completely unscientific.
The
I have no idea if that's
season.
True.
The end of the season. What does that
end
mean?
Of the season.
It's
I don't
getting
know.
Desperate. Desperate.
Well, they're
for
not
what?
Out in the winter. They're. I don't know where do bees go during the winter. Do you know the answer? I don't think anyone knows that answer.
Hibernation.
No one has it.
They die.
No one knows.
We'll go
that
to
answer.
Break and come back and get into bug playoffs.
Yes.
Where they where regular the... season's over for the bugs.
All right, we'll get to that next. All right, so we got a winter update here on the bees. I'm looking this up on Google. When the weather starts to get cold, honeybees will stop flying. Bees will
they
go back to the hive and huddle in a crowd into a lower central area of the hive, forming a winter cluster. Worker bees huddle around the queen, and the cluster will shiver to keep the center around 80 degrees. What an awful gig that is if you're a worker bee. Like, you just have to shiver for months so that the queen can stay warm. Like, that sucks. But... That's what comes with the gig, I guess. That's why they're desperate right now, man. They know what's coming. They don't want to be in there. So they're pissing people off, and they're right in your kitchen. Bees have been all over me recently. Whenever I'm outside, it's a problem.
It's terrible. I think that's the worst I've seen them in a long time. It's just every time you go outside, there's like a bee or a wasp like hovering around. It's annoying.
It's a bad scene. Bad scene. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
The Ryder Cup starting on Friday. The coverage is just nonstop down there. No one knows what's coming. Like, not the Europeans and the Americans have not announced anything. The players don't have anything to say. The coverage is off the charts. Like, the Golf Channel's doing what they always do. But you just see all these projections. Who's going to be paired together? The four ball, the foursomes. What are you going to do here, there? You know, can't they come up? Can't they reveal the strategy at some point? Like, couldn't we have something to chew on here and kind of know what is actually going to happen?
I think they only put it out the night before the morning matches.
I think you're right, yeah.
Tomorrow night, they'll be like, this is what's going to go down in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get into it later. Ian Woosnam, my boy, teed off on Brooks Koepka. I don't know what. I think Woozy got into the scotch and absolutely teed off on Brooks Koepka. I'll have to get the quotes. We'll touch on it later. But out of the blue, little Woozy just went nuts.
I could see the old school guys hating on Koepka because they love the Ryder Cup. They love the camaraderie.
Yeah.
They love the patriotism. And Koepka's just acting like a suck about it all. The Golf Report, brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Pick your favorite Subaru at the Adventure Picking Event. So more on Woozy and what he had to say a little bit later on. Kristen Shilton coming up in the next hour. She was down at Leafs camp today. And role play level of concern at 5:30. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.